happening. Thank you so much. Welcome to Easter services here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're so joyed that you came and joined us. We've got some other people that are filtering in. If you see some folks that are coming up the aisles, please do your best to help them get in. And we'll certainly want to accommodate everybody who's here this morning. I'm the pastor. For those of you who are guests, we want to say welcome and thank you. I'll remind you at the end, but if you're a guest with us today, when you got your bulletin on the way in, there's a guest card. If you'd be so kind, as when you leave, there's two places, a guest services counter, and then there's a station right in between the outer doors, and there'll be folks there at both of those stations that have a gift for you just for being our guest. We want to say welcome and thank you, and just our way of saying we appreciate you being here. Fill that out with as much information, the guest card that is, as you feel comfortable, and we'll send a letter out this week thanking you. We'll have a record of your visit. We appreciate that. If you are looking for the first through sixth graders, they're over in the Family Life Center, all of them together. Brother Kyle, our student pastor, and different several staff people are over there, and if you'd like to use that for your children, then that's right across the way. The ushers will help you with that. There's a nursery and beginner age just down this hall. Again, ushers will help you if you need that spot, that help in that way. And then after you leave, there's a photo spot out in the lobby, and then there's some beautiful places out here in the courtyard to our left, or my left, your right, and we'll certainly look forward to a lot of pictures being taken here on the grounds. Thank you again. I say to you, Resurrection Day is a wonderful day to celebrate. And as the scriptures teach, the Bible says that as they went there early in the morning on the first day of the week, looking to do something with the body of Christ, but he wasn't there. And folks, we celebrate and we serve a risen Savior, and that is the difference that it makes. You say, I don't know how to prove all that. I can tell you the only way I need to prove it is what it did in my life. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, saved me. I'm on my way to heaven because of the victory and the fact that Jesus Christ had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so this morning, with all that, I say, happy Resurrection Sunday. Would you pray with me together and ask the Lord's blessings on all that happens? Father, we're thankful for the chance to be in your house. God, it's a joy to celebrate today the risen Savior. And Lord, we're not just hyping things up. We're not just coming up with something to shout about. Instead, dear Lord, we're realizing the truth of the resurrection, dear Lord. Many infallible proofs as we look at and we see the truth of the resurrection. Lord, bless the singing, bless the speaking, bless the message, bless all that goes on. May you be glorified today. And we'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the satisfying payment for our sins. 1 John 4:10. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Will you stand with me, please? We're going to sing a medley of several songs. We'll have the words for you on the screen. Will you join me as we sing, starting with the first?
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells us.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And
at a time of God's own choosing, he came. When we the fight were losing, he came. Long before we knew him, when we were lost in sin, at the right time, at the best time, he came. When the night was cold and dreary, he came. To his children worn and weary, he came. Out of darkness to make us his again, at the right time, at the best time, he came. To the great and to the lowly, he came. To the wicked, to the best time he came, that we might know the Father, that heaven we might gain, at the right time, at the best time he came.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Then the band and the captain of the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, And Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, Crucify him, he's to blame. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, Behold your king. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have come, 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have come, 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you. The howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, It is finished, he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have come, 10,000 angels to destroy the died alone for you and me.
Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, then yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
Sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the victory cry. This is the power of the cross. Christ became for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us.
Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid them. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid them. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said. Come see the place where the Lord hath laid.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, choir and special music and all that was done. What a beautiful, beautiful presentation and reminding us of the resurrection. And I want to get into the message this morning and share with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I thank God for everybody that's here, and I realize that in certain spots you may be just a hair uncomfortable, but please bear with me. We won't be long in the message, but you know, we'll go somewhere to an event, a concert, or to a ball game and sit right up against one another. And so if we'll just bear with me for just a little while, thank you for being patient. Thank you so much for those of you who helped guests get in and find a seat or give them your seat. And thank you so much. And choir will remain behind me. I'm appreciative of them and their willingness to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 18 says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Look, if you will, in verse number 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." And then move down just a few more verses, verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and these and things which are not, to bring not to naught things that are." Again, I look back in verse number 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning about the cross of Christ. We're here celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to that cruel cross. He died and was buried, and after 3 days rose again in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And as people would look back on that event, oftentimes they would just look back and say, the cross. But in this message, as I say the cross, I'm referencing the cross and the empty tomb. And I look at this morning, the cross, how it's a beautiful picture to you and I that are saved of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and how it's a wonderful remembrance and reminder of the victory in Christ that we have and the forgiveness of our sins. As we remodeled this auditorium, that's why we put it on the wall behind me, just so people would be reminded that the center message of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is the cross of Jesus Christ. But I take you to another group this morning, and that is the ones that you hear them as well as I do, that mock and that ridicule and that put down the cross. Those that look down upon it and say that we're uneducated or say that we're believing in fairy tales, I say that there's a different group that has disdain for the cross. I remember in a humorous story, as we served at a church, had a large Christian school, and you could always tell the ones that were bringing their kindergartners, because here's what happens on opening day of the school when kindergartners are brought to the people that don't have any kids. The kindergartner is the first one. There's tissues everywhere. Parents are crying and they're sobbing, and mom is there with dad, and they're there for support for one another as little Junior or Oswald or Beatrice, whoever it is going to go into the school. Now he's all excited that I get to go into school, but mom's back there, oh, my baby's leaving me and going. Now here I want to show you the other crowd. This is the one that have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 kids, and the rest of them are already through school. This is the baby. This is the last one. This is the one, you know how babies, when you forget your first baby, when they drop that little pacifier on the floor, they get that pacifier, and mom puts it under boiling water and cleans it all up and then dries it and makes sure that it's okay and puts it back in. By the time you get to second, third, or fourth kid, they drop it in the mud. It's as muddy as can be. Mom just puts it in her mouth, licks it off, and says, here, that'll do. The first kid, you're taking baby food and you're pureeing organic, grain-fed, whatever it is, you're doing everything just by the book. On the fourth or fifth kid, something rolls under the stove, you reach back and get it and say, oh, just brush off the dust and the fuzz and all the dust bunnies and then give it to the kid anyways. So back to the story about the kindergartner. By the time you have a family that's had two or three or four kids, that first child, that mama was over there bawling and they're handing out tissues and crying and saying, oh, I don't know. And they'll sit in the car for a couple hours afterwards just imagining what's going on behind those walls. Oh, he's probably going to his little class now. Now he's going to nap time. Now he's doing this. But you've got this other family that's already had three or four kids that already went through school. When they get that kindergartner to the school and bring him for his first day, they barely slow down to a roll and open up that door and just kick him out and say, get on out of here, we'll see you at 3:30. It's all in how you're looking at it. And my friend, in a very real sense, it's all in how you look at it. To the world, that cross is foolishness. To the world, that's a sickening a relic of a fairy tale that somebody came up with just to get them through a tough time. It's all in how you look at it. To me and to you that love the Lord, it's the reminder. You ladies, you wear it around your neck. You'll put it on some sort of jewelry just to remind yourself and tell the world that I believe in what happened on that old rugged cross. To us, it's the Bible story. To us, it's the wonderful story of Christ, the sufficient one that went to the cross to die there for you and for me. And I see, though, this morning in this world, it's first of all a hated object in verse number 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Several years ago in Hawkins, Texas, the town had put up a sign that said, Jesus welcomes you to Hawkins. And just as similar of what happened in our area over in Elizabethton, when certain agencies got involved with crosses on a hill and said that's unfit to be on public ground in Hawkins, Texas. There was a dispute whether the land was owned by a private individual or a church or whether it was owned by the city, and the city came and unbeknownst to everybody else and took the sign down. My friend, most of the neighbors in Hawkins, Texas wanted the sign that said Jesus welcomes you to Hawkins, but there was a small group that had hatred for those words that were on the side of that road as you came into that little town. Just the same as down here in Elizabethton, and people look up at the crosses and say, that's a wonderful reminder, but there's a group, there's a small group, there's a crowd that holds it as a hated object. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 7 years ago, Lieutenant Commander Nader was a Navy chaplain threatened with his job and ending his career because of the biblical position that he counseled people in private biblical counseling sessions. But because he gave them scripture as a chaplain, he was threatened to lose his very job. Now, thankfully, an entity got involved and argued it, and all charges were dropped. But I'm saying this morning that the object that we come to rejoice about this morning, the cross and the empty tomb, to the world, it's a hated object. But I see not only is it a hated object, but look in verse 22, if you would. I see not only is it a hated object, but an ignored object. In 22, the Bible says, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Just 1 week before Jesus was nailed to that old rugged cross, he'd come into the town, and you know the story as well as I do, that they took those palm branches and they laid them on the ground, said, Hosanna. They wanted Christ to set up his kingdom, and they wanted him to deliver them from the Roman rule that was over them, and they trusted him, and they thought that he was the Messiah, and he came, and he was the Messiah. The only problem was that he didn't act in the way that they wanted him to, and so we understand that the Jews, by and large, any of them can be saved, but by and large, the Jews ignored the cross of Christ. They're still looking for their Messiah. Can you imagine the sadness of a religion that you did with ritual, yet never having the one, the object, the person, the Messiah come. I see it's not only a hated object, but an ignored object to the Jews. It's just a stumbling block. If a Jew gets to Christ, he's going to have to stumble over the cross and realize that they did reject the Messiah 2,000 years ago and go back and do what his forefathers did not do, and that is acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul was witnessing to Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, and then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know the cry of the world today is, if you need to have that cross for your benefit, you go ahead. And they don't mind, but they would teach all of the stories and the scriptures as fairy tales. Oh, if you need to believe that Daniel was in the lion's den and you need to believe that so that it gets you through a tough time, then you go ahead and believe that. But they would think there's no way that somebody was thrown in a den of lions and those lions didn't eat him. My friend, listen, not only is the cross an object that the world despises and has disdain for, but so are the miracles of the Bible and the things that are in there that could not have happened. You say, is there any way that somebody could be thrown in the lion's den, or is there any way that the three Hebrew boys could be thrown in that fiery furnace and not burn? I say, no, there's no way that he could do that. But there's no way that could happen. But I'd also follow that up by saying, that's exactly when God shows up, when there's no way that it can happen. There's also no way that anybody could get up out of the grave. But my friend, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes, the Bible says. He arose a victor of the dark domain. My friend, I'm telling you this morning, not only is there a group of people that hate the cross, but there's also a larger group, and I believe in many people that you're neighbors with, there's a large group of people who just simply ignore the cross. If you want it, that's fine, but it means nothing for me. I give you the last point this morning in verse number 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. If you were not here Monday night, or if you're a guest this morning, I challenge you to go on our website and look back at the archive services of last Monday. We had a revival, and just give you a little glimpse of what Christ went through at the crucifixion. And my friend, that plus many other things that could not be conveyed by human tongue get me this morning to bow before the cross. What your Savior and my Savior did for us, the cross is such a humbling object. God hath chosen the foolish things that no flesh should glory in His presence. My friend, I tell you that there's a group that hate the cross, a group that simply ignore the cross, but I'm challenging everybody in this room to be the one that humbly bows before the cross. Now, just for clarity's sake, the cross that we put up here has no significance except what it points back to. We don't believe in bowing to graven images as the Scripture commands against, because we only use these as a reminder, much like if you're a married person in here, when you look at your wedding ring, you don't worship and bow before that wedding ring, but you certainly are glad for the marriage that that wedding ring represents. And so this cross behind me is just some things that the architects put up there to form that image that reminds you and reminds me that there was a hill that held an old rugged cross. And that was the true cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And the dear Lamb of God left His home far above and bore it to dark Calvary. My friend, it's a humbling object. If you're here this morning and you've never bowed before the cross of Jesus Christ, you, my friend, are playing a dangerous game, because the Bible says that Jesus came and died on that old rugged cross and paid for my sins and for your sins, so that we could enjoy the splendors of heaven forever and ever. But the reason he had to come and die on that cross was because my sins, my wretchedness, my guiltiness was going to earn me a totally different destination. You say, how could God send anybody to a place called hell? You see, I didn't need God to send me there. I was sending myself there. Because I was the one sinning against the holy Creator God. I was the one that had broken His laws, that had mocked in His face. You say, I don't know that you'd ever done that. My sins separated me far from God, as did yours. And if you're here this morning, knowing that your sins have separated us from God, I challenge you to be humbled before the cross of Jesus Christ. I realized that my sinful condition could never enter me into heaven. And because of my deeds, I realized that there was no way for me to enter heaven. But praise God, I bowed my knee and I humbled myself before the cross of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. The message has been preached across this land, but sometimes it gets so muddied or watered down that we forget the next needed step, the next needed information, and the next needed information after He died for the sins of the world, the next needed bit of information is that I personally and you personally must humble and bow figuratively before the cross of Jesus Christ. And years ago, my friend, knowing where I was headed without Christ, I bowed before Jesus and I received Christ into my life, asking Him to forgive my sins and take me to heaven. See, the Bible says in verse number 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Couldn't God have come up with another way? He could have, but He didn't. He could have come with some regal cathedral and said that everybody must make a pilgrimage to some cathedral so that when they step foot in that cathedral, that would be counted for righteousness and they would go to heaven, but He did not. God could have shown up in the skies and said everybody that looks on the image in the sky would be saved, but He did not. Instead, God sent His Son to an old rugged cross, knowing the world would despise and look upon it with shame. But that is the thing, the way that we need to be sure of heaven is to bow before our Savior, Jesus Christ, receiving Him as our Savior. The Bible says in 1 John, He, Jesus, is the propitiation, long word, for our sins. Propitiation means this, the action of appeasing God or atonement. So the action of appeasing God was what the cross was all about. Friends, we owed a debt, our sin debt, and you could not pay it, nor could I. But Jesus, the lovely for the unlovely, the God-man for the ungodly, the holy for the wicked, that's the message of the cross. And if you're here today and you've never humbled yourself before the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb after He died and rose again, I challenge you this morning on this Easter Sunday morning of 2022 that you would bow your heart and you would receive Jesus Christ in full forgiveness of your sins. Would you bow your heads together with me today? As our instrumentalists come, here's my invitation. If you're here this morning and you've never bowed your heart to Jesus Christ, You've never put your faith in Him. You've never figuratively bowed before the cross. I'm asking you right now in the quietness of your heart that you would do just that. That you would realize that you are a sinner, but that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you would receive Him. You would humbly bow before Him. You would receive Him as your personal Savior. As the ladies play for us, and you're there, if you're thinking, "Preacher, that's me. Brother John, that's me. I realized this morning what Easter's all about. It's not getting dressed up in nice clothes. It's not having Easter egg hunts. It's not having a family meal. It's not gathering together. It's not sitting too close to other people in a church service. It's Jesus Christ on the cross, then buried for 3 days, and then rising again. That's what Easter is about." And my friend, if you've realized it this morning, and you've really never had it tuned in like you have this morning, but this morning you realize that's what it's all about, I challenge you to humble yourself before the cross of Jesus Christ. Right there where you sit, would you pray to the Lord? We're crowded in here. You just sit right there where you are. And you'd pray to the Lord something like this: "Dear Jesus," quietly in your heart where you and God know what's going on. "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've strayed far from where you wanted me to be. I bow before you today. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive my sins. Please take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you to save me." If you're realizing this morning, it's like one of those binoculars or other viewing device that it's finally coming into focus. You've heard about Easter all your life, but you really didn't exactly understand what it is. And today you realize it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection was the exclamation point on the end of the cross and the tomb. The resurrection was the exclamation point that God put on the end of that sentence when He said, "It's done. Now salvation is complete." As Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished." If you're wanting to take Christ as your Savior, you need your sins forgiven and you realize that, would you quietly, silently just tell Him that this morning? Receive Christ as your Savior. "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I humbly bow before you and ask you to forgive my sins and come into my life and save me." If you're able to, would you stand together with us for just a moment? Brother Daniel, the assistant pastor, one of them, is there in front of the pulpit that I preach from. And perhaps you need some spiritual help. Maybe you'd like to come and you still haven't received Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to and you'd like somebody to help you with that. Brother Daniel would be tickled to death to do that. Maybe you have some other need on your heart and you'd like to come to this altar. Would you come? The altar's open for you. As they continue to play, just for a moment, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. Would you step out and come? Maybe there's some other spiritual need on your heart. You've saved, but you've never been baptized. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to present yourself for that. Either of those, we'll get an appointment this week and set up with you, see if you have any questions, but you'd like to come present yourself for that. The altar's open. Thank you so much. You may look this way. I want to thank everybody, the choir to the back of the wall, everybody in this room for being patient and sitting closer than you might enjoy to one another. The Lord has given us a wonderful crowd. It's been so good to us. I pray that you walk out of here and don't mind that. Don't say, well, boy, it was too crowded. I know, but we had a good time. And I thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient. Choir, thank you for sitting back here behind me. And I appreciate your willingness and the great singing. Thank you for all of that. I want to just let you know my appreciation for you being here on Resurrection Sunday. I'm not one of those preachers say, boy, it's good to see somebody I haven't seen you in so long. Because here's what the Lord did in my heart in the last 7 or 8 days. Somebody told me that they were requesting off work to be at church on Easter Sunday. That's what Easter, that's what that means to them. And so that this is just a gathering of people that many of you worked your schedule around harder than you usually work it, and you don't typically make it on Sunday morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for that. Just a couple of announcements. You can pick up all the children. If you brought some, please take them with you. You can pick up all the children that you, well, not all that you want, but the only ones that belong to you. First through sixth grades in the Family Life Center. And then beginner age and nursery is down the hall here. And then everybody, 12th grade and down, we've got Dippin' Dots for them. All you have to do is just make a detour through the Family Life Center. So as you walk out these doors, the Family Life Center is right there to your left, and the kitchen is right as soon as you come in. There'll be somebody dispersing individual servings of Dippin' Dots for everybody 12th grade and down, and you stop by and get you one of those. It'd be a wonderful thing, and I hope you enjoy that. And then, as soon as we dismiss, we'll block this door open right here, and you may not have thought about it, but just down a few steps, and then it goes out to this this exit that's close to this new parking lot across the street. If you want to exit that way, and we'll do the same over here, just so it makes it a little easier for everybody to get out. Thank you for being here. Happy Resurrection Day to you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Can you open that? There's a little latch behind it.